If all we had was the Old Testament, we could still find Jesus Christ. We could still find the promised seed, the promised Messiah, and we could still be saved by grace through faith. But we have a better covenant. The Old Covenant is the Old Testament. The New Covenant is the New Testament. The New Covenant is the same covenant, but it is the Old Covenant explained, and the reason it's better is because it tells us all about who the promised seed was, all about who the promised Messiah was, and the promised Messiah speaks to us directly through the New Testament. So it's a much better covenant because now we understand it clearly and because the blood has been shed of which the Old Testament pictures. Back to basics. The heavy burden of the law was to teach us, to lead us, to draw us to the grace of His right, of the righteousness in His promised seed, Jesus Christ. God did not give the law because He thought man could keep it. But once man was given the law, it was a schoolmaster, a teacher, that was to teach man who was totally depraved, separated from God by his sin, out of spiritual union with Him, the way back to God. Some people have said, well, why couldn't God just sit down and talk to him and say, now, here's what you need to do, and here's the whole plan? Because I suspect God did it this way because that's the only way, and God only does things the best way. And man was so spiritually stupid and so disconnected from God that God had to teach him over a long period of time. Man is a very slow learner. Now, let's talk about what the law is. A lot of people, when they say the law of Moses, they think, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon this earth. They think of the Ten Commandments, and they limit it to the law, to the Ten Commandments. Or sometimes they'll take it and they'll say, okay, there's that law, and then there's the ceremonial law where you don't eat catfish and you don't make sure across the top of your roof you've got some little things put up where people won't fall off. And you say, well, that's the law, all of that. The law, as used in the Bible, are the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. That was what God gave the nation of Israel. That is the law. All of it is the law. And so when you talk about the law, you're talking about what the Jews call the Torah. The Torah are the first five books of the Bible. So we're going to talk about the law. Well, what's the difference between the law and His Word? There really isn't that much difference, because the law was His Word. In the New Testament, we're always saying, preach the Word! And it's like, don't preach the law, preach the Word! There's a difference. There's no difference. The law is the Word of God, just as much as salvation by grace through faith is the Word of God. The law was the Word of God given in the Old Testament. And so I use the two words law and word interchangeably because it's all the Word of God. Now, in Genesis 3 and 7, we discover what man did. You know that he ate of the forbidden fruit, his wife tempted him, and he knew what he was doing, and he took it because really he wanted a woman more than God. Genesis 3:7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The first thing man started trying to do was to save himself, to bring himself back where he could stand before God and not be ashamed, and he began to try to make an effort on his own part so that he could stand before God even after he had sinned and disobeyed God, and what he had done would have been covered up. All God ever wanted man to do was just come out and admit what he had done was wrong and appeal to God for mercy and forgiveness, and neither Adam nor Eve did that. I want you to notice that immediately, the same chapter in verse 15, God began a plan, a magnificent plan. In verse 15, he said, and I will put enmity between thee. He is speaking to the serpent. He is speaking to Satan, who led them to sin, because he said, and ye shall not surely die. They did not die physically, but they sure did die spiritually toward God. They remained physically alive toward the world, but they were physically, physiologically, and spiritually dead toward God. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. Satan has seed. He sows seed. He is a spiritual being, and one day he will have a final consummated seed in which all the evil will be centered, and that man will be the Antichrist. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Right here's God's plan. Her seed. One day, out of the descendants of the woman Eve, there would come a Messiah. There would come a deliverer from God. There would come Jesus Christ. He said, and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. A serpent wiggles around on the earth. And John said, man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Furthermore, in the same chapter, the third chapter of John, John the writer said, "Ye marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The word again is from above. You must be born from above. Here is a picture of the seed that would come, and he would come from above. And the serpent is crawling on the ground, and it is a beautiful picture of what Christ did at Calvary. Christ came down from heaven, and he crushed the serpent's head. The serpent is the god of this world. He's been the god of this world ever since he sinned and was cast out of heaven for the first time. When Christ came down, he was the arm of God. He's referred to as the arm of God. He's referred to many times as the strength of God. He's referred to as the hand of God. He came down from heaven, and he crushed the head of the serpent. He paid a terrible price. He gave his life. But what he did, he came down, and he forever ended the domination of Satan over man because of man's fallen condition. And when man comes to Christ, when he comes to this seed that God promised, the serpent has already been defeated. His head was bruised. Christ came down from heaven, and he came down and crushed his power and ascended back into heaven, where he is at the right hand of God, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. God immediately began the plan. He immediately said, "Look, you can't cover up what you are. You can't do it yourself. I'm going to have to send you a deliverer. I'm going to have to come myself as Emmanuel, God with you. I'm going to have to come and live in a man. I'm going to have to come out of the womb of a woman who will be a future descendant of Eve. Then I will come," and he said, "I will save you. I, the deliverer, God, will save you." He wanted man to come out and admit he was wrong, admit what he'd done, and God would have delivered him. This was God's plan. This is the law. What you're looking at here is a picture of what Jesus would do. It is the law of the Old Testament. Now notice in verse 21, he gives them a picture. It's kind of like when you're small and you can't read, you have to look at a picture book. So he gave them a picture, and this picture is the picture of the law. This is in the same chapter, 3:21. The sin, the actions of Adam and Eve to cover it up, God's plan in verse 15, and now he gives them a picture of what that plan will entail. In Genesis 3:21, he says unto Adam and also to his wife, "Did the Lord God make?" Notice, Adam and Eve made themselves aprons. God said, no. He says, "I'm coming. I'm coming as a seed. I'll bruise the serpent's head. I'll deliver you. I'll take care of this." And now he says unto Adam also and his wife, "Did the Lord God make?" God said, "I'll do the making. You don't make aprons. You don't cover up what you are. You can't do it." He said, "I'll take care of this." And he covered it up with coats of skins. These coats of skins, the skins, are of animals. It pictures the blood that was shed by those animals. Innocent blood. Blood that was not guilty of the sin. Man was guilty of the sin. Animal was not. And so God pictured what he would do when he came to bruise and crush the power of Satan with his heel as he descended from heaven and then ascended back into heaven with all power in heaven and earth and the right to deliver God justifiably in his own sight and eyes, which is the only way that it can be done justly, because God makes those decisions. Coats of skins and clothing. God said, "I'll clothe them." What's he going to cover you with? The blood of Christ. What is the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ is the only righteousness I have. The blood of Christ is what I have received as my total redemption, all of it. And because I am covered with his blood, I am covered with his righteousness. When I say I am covered with his blood, when God looks at me, he sees the sacrifice of his son. He sees the blood of his son. And because he sees that I believe that and my total faith is in Christ and his blood, then God has imputed to me his son's righteousness, and I have the righteousness of God which is in Jesus Christ because I am covered with his blood. God does all this. It is beyond the precepts and concepts of man. I'm 66 years old. I've been pastoring for 25 years. I'm a serious student of the word. And believe me, when God called me to preach, I did not understand this. I thank God you don't have to understand the theology to be saved. I thank God all you have to understand is that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you a complete cleansing and saves your soul. All I'm doing now is explaining what I've come to learn over 25 years about the purposes and plan of God of salvation in Christ. And he brought him abroad. We're now going to take a look at Abraham. We're doing back to basics. We're talking about the seed, God's promise. We've covered Genesis 3, 7, 15, and 21. Now we're going to move on to Genesis 15, 5, and 6. We're now coming down about 12 chapters later. And we're going to see the same thing about this seed that God promised. God decided he would come through Abraham. And he used Abraham as the man who believed him and to whom he imputed righteousness. Abraham was a man who believed God, who had faith in God, who had confidence in God, who believed God's promise of a seed of a Messiah. So in Genesis 15, 5 and 6, now he brought him forth. God brought him forth.
and said to Abraham, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Notice his name here is this time is Abram. Abraham means the father of a nation. Here was a man who didn't have any children. And God said, even though Sarah's barren, even though you're an old man, he said, I am going to make you the father of many nations. And sure enough, he has, as God promised, exactly what he said. And Abraham believed God. And Abraham believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. I want you to notice that God is the one who made the coats of skin and clothed Adam and Eve. I want you to notice that God is the one who counted it to him for righteousness. I want you to notice it was his belief in the Lord, in the power of the Lord, in the ability of the Lord to do things. That is why, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It was the action of the Lord. It was the Lord who did the counting. It was the Lord who did the saving. All Abraham did was believe. And because he believed God's promise that one day he would be a great nation, God imputed it to him for righteousness, and he was covered with what these skins pictured, a covering of the blood of Christ the Messiah would one day shed. Did Abraham understand all this? Was he a great theologian? Could he have explained all this to you? No, that's why the New Testament was given. That's why it's a better covenant. Because now we understand, and God has shown this to us. And at the judgment seat of Christ, those of you of this generation are going to be judged more hardly than any other generation. Because you have the completed, full Word of God. And if we let these things slip, there remaineth a punishment for us, my friend. God has given us a new covenant, a better covenant. Now we understand it. We have no excuse whatsoever. We have no justification whatsoever. But Abraham had enough spiritual sense to believe what the Lord said. And that is what God requires for salvation. You don't have to understand the technicalities of it. It's marvelous and wonderful to understand the technicalities after you are saved. And quite frankly, you cannot understand the technicalities until after you're saved. But when you see yourself as condemned, when you see yourself as hiding from God, when you see yourself as trying to cover up what you are, and you come out of hiding and trust Jesus to save you, all of his righteousness is imputed to you at that moment. The moment you trust him and ask for salvation, he gives it to you. Period. No exceptions. But until you receive it, many of these things I'm showing you will be just so much Greek. I want you to notice in Genesis 22:18, once again, he repeats the promise to Abraham. In Genesis 22:18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God blessed all the nations of the world, both Jew and Gentile, and they have all been blessed with the marvelous salvation that is available through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the seed, who was God incarnate, who was God living in the flesh of a man, who was God, who was Emmanuel, God with us, who came in the womb of a virgin without sin, came forth into the world, lived a sinless life, and gave that life of the man, Christ Jesus. The man bore our sins on the cross, God living in him and directing him, and the man yielding to the Father in every single aspect. And because of this, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. All this started way back here. This is the law. It was supposed to teach us something. Many people never learn the law. We're going to take a look at it and see why the law was given. Why all these symbols, pictures, and things were given so that we could understand it one day. Galatians 3:16-18. I want you to notice what he says concerning what we just read in Genesis 22:16. In Galatians 3:16-18, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Here we find in chapter 22 of Genesis, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And here, thousands of years later, we find in Galatians, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, but as of many, and of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This is the seed where he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Christ came and crushed the power of the earthly serpent wiggling on the earth. He came down from heaven, and his heel settled upon the power of Satan. And the serpent's power is always in its head. You destroy the head, it has no power left. And this I say, verse 17, Galatians 3:17, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. Now here he is referring to that particular segment of the law that was given by Moses, primarily called the Ten Commandments. He says, but I say that the covenant, you see, he refers to a specific part of the law. The covenant itself is a part of the law, but the law are the whole five books, the first five books in the Bible, the Torah. And this I say, that the covenant, which was confirmed before of God in Christ, He confirmed it before of Christ when he spoke to Abraham of it. He says the law, the one that Moses gave, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. In the day of Christ, they were trying to follow the law meticulously. Instead of learning the lesson from it to show them what sinners they were, they kept diligently trying to obey it. Instead of admitting they could not keep it, instead of coming to Christ like the publican and crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because they saw the impossibility of living up to God's standard of righteousness, instead they tried to keep it and water it down so they could keep it. His point here is that grace and truth came in the promised seed, the Messiah, long before Moses ever came down off Mount Sinai with those commandments. And just because Moses came down with those commandments, he said the promise was given 430 years before that. And it certainly does not make God's promise of none effect. The law was given so that men might see how very exceeding sinful they really are. I want you to notice now in Galatians 6:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. The law was the word of God. The law was the first five books of the Pentateuch. But here we refer to the covenant. The covenant here is the actual commandments themselves, the Ten Commandments and the whole law of Moses. God gave it to Abraham by promise. The promise of salvation came in the seed. The law was given to drive us to the seed, to make us to see why we had to have the seed. The law was given to teach men to come to the seed, to come to the promise of Abraham. It was not given to save men. It was given to show men the way to Christ. Wherefore the law? We're now looking at Galatians 3:24-26. We're in the same chapter. We just looked at Galatians 3:16-18. Now let's jump on down to 24-26, and it will confirm everything that I've said. The reason for the law. The law is not the promise. There was no life in the law. The life is in Christ, and he is the seed promised by Abraham. He is the seed promised to Abraham. He is the seed that came out of the line of Abraham. He is the Messiah. The promise is in him. And the law was merely given out to show us how far short we fall of God's standard of righteousness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments he's referring to here. It was all five of those books, all those pictures, all those types, all those symbols, all those rules, all those regulations. Everything was given to drive us in desperation to the only hope that we could ever have. The seed that God promised, that God made in a woman's womb, that God himself lived in, that God himself performed the act. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you're trusting in the power of God. When you try to add to it or take away from it, God will not accept it. It is the power of God in Christ that saves and nothing else. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. God used the law to draw to the seed. You'll find this drawing all the way through. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, it's God's Spirit that leads you to salvation. What do you think the law is? It's the Word of God. What do you think? Who do you think wrote the Word? Who do you think gave the law? God. God gave the law and God gave the Word. And that is his Spirit that draws you to Christ. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. It doesn't mean that we just throw the commandments out and say, okay, now I'm not going to treat my mother and father right. Now I'm going to have other gods before him. Now I'm going to go out and commit adultery. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that the lesson has been learned. After the law has shown you how helpless you are and has driven you to receive Christ as your Savior, then you have learned the lesson and you're not under that schoolmaster anymore because the lesson has been taught and has completed it. But this morning, right here in this community, there are about 21 churches in and around Dardanelle that are meeting. And in many of these churches, they are still trying to keep the law of Moses. They are still trying to keep the commandments of God to go to heaven. And they have expressions like at funerals, if anybody makes it, surely she will. She was a good person. And they have expressions like, surely we'll make it because we've worked for God. And they say we're all working to get to the same place. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the work has been done. It has been completed. And we are to exercise faith in the one who completed the work. It was the Father. It was the Son. It was the Spirit. And they worked together to save a man's soul. And the law given by the Spirit of God was to show man how exceedingly sinful he was. I have learned my lesson. I know who I am. I was taught by the law. When I realized how helpless I was and could not save myself, in desperation I turned to the only one who could save me. the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, continuing in Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, cleansed by faith in Christ. I want you to notice in the law, we're going to go back to a specific part of the law. We're going to go back to Leviticus 14, 1 and 2. This is the law. This is the law. This is what people like to call the law. It's the first five books that are the law. But this is the specific law. I want you to notice in Leviticus 14, 1 and 2, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now let's see if the law did teach and what it was supposed to teach. Leviticus 1 and 2, Leviticus 14, 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. You may look in any reference source you'd care to look in. You'll discover that the leper was pictured as a type of sin. You will discover without question the leper was considered and is a picture of a type of sin. When man fell, he inherited a leprous nature. He is a leper by birth and by nature before God. A leper had to stand away from people and say, unclean, unclean. A leper is constantly used as a picture of someone who is lost and separated from God. For this shall be the law of the leper. This is the way the law taught us. In the day of his cleansing, in the day of his cleansing, I was cleansed some 54 years ago. I was cleansed with the power of God in Christ Jesus. I was covered with the blood of Christ. His sacrifice was applied to my life, and God's Son's righteousness was imputed to me. I want you to notice what happens in the law when this cleansing occurs of a leper which is pictured as a man filled with sin. He shall be brought unto the priest. He is brought unto the priest. The priest throughout the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, the temple, and all the accoutrements thereof, and all the different pictures picture Christ. He is our high priest. So when it says, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. The law taught to come to the priest for the cleansing. That's who I came to for my cleansing, my high priest. And this is what the law was to teach us. John 6, 44, 45. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is what this is referring to. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You say, no, wait a minute. That's not talking about the law. That's talking about God the Father. Well, who gave the law? And who is God the Father? And who said he would come and dwell among men? And who gave the law? And what is the law? It is his word. And God's Spirit, the Father himself, gave the law for the purpose to draw men to Christ. Except the Father which hath sent me draw him. When the law is preached, when the righteousness of God that is manifested in the law is preached, and men and women see themselves as what they are, not in God's league and short of righteousness, then the law, which is the power of God, which is the word of God given by the Spirit of God, draw them to the only hope they have, Christ Jesus. And I will raise him up at the last day. God used the law to draw. Notice verse 45. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Look at the next continuation. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. How do you learn of the Father? From the law. What is the law? It is God's standard of righteousness. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. God does that. A lawyer came to Jesus one day and he asked Jesus, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him if he could keep the law, he could have life. Jesus told him that knowing he couldn't. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no life in the law. But when a man honestly tries to keep the law, what he is trying to keep is the standard of God's righteousness. And every man that heard the first five books of the Bible, therefore hath heard and hath learned of the Father. What do they learn of the Father? They learn of his righteousness. Cometh unto me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they came to Jesus because the Father who gave the law by His Spirit used His righteousness and their like of it to draw them to Him. It's 12 o'clock. I got another whole sheet here. And I really like this sheet. But I'm not going to keep you past 12. So tonight I'm going to finish this. If you've had any doubts about whether or not I've made the correct interpretation, come back tonight and I'll prove it to you. Because I've got a lot more scripture to back up what I've said. So here's what it's all about. I've told you this many times and I'll tell you many more times. In all my travels, I sit by a lot of people on a lot of airplanes. I talk to a lot of people that are lost in a lot of homes. As preachers, I used to do about 40 revivals a year. Now I'm down to about 24. I'm just getting too old to do them. And I've discovered when I go into people's homes and witness and talk to them, they always give me basically the same general type of story. They say, I'm just as good as anybody else. Well, you're absolutely right. You are just as good as anybody else. But what are we all? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They say, I'm just as righteous as those people down there at the church, a bunch of hypocrites down there. Well, you're right. We are all hypocrites. You say, I'm not a hypocrite. Oh, you're in bad shape. We're all hypocrites. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of us have hypocrisy in our very natures. And all of us will say one thing and mean another. And all of us cover up just like in nature we inherited from Adam. So I'll talk to these people, and they're still trying to hide. They're still trying to cover up what they are. They won't come out of the open before God and just admit their inability to keep the law of God. The Lord told this lawyer who came to him. He said, here's what you need to do to inherit eternal life. And he said it in reply to what the lawyer had told him. He asked the lawyer. He said, what saith the law? That's exact words. He said, when the lawyer said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what saith the law? Here's what the lawyer said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. Let me tell you exactly what Jesus said. He said, this do and thou shalt live. I can't do that because I was born with a self-serving, self-centered nature. I was born with a nature that puts my desires and my wants first. I was born with an Adamic nature. I came out of hiding 54 years ago. I just gave up and said, Lord, you're going to have to save me because I can't save myself. Do you know how God drew me to Him? He used the law. Jesus said, for Moses said, whosoever committeth adultery breaketh the law. Jesus said, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her in his own heart hath committed adultery with her in his own heart. I was 12 years old. By this time, for 4 years, I had fought against the Spirit of God. I had done everything I knew how to please God. I believed Jesus was His Son. I believed He died on the cross for my sins. All the technical aspects I had been taught. But I had never seen myself as completely, absolutely, utterly helpless. But the day I was saved, I did. I had no hope whatsoever except Jesus. And the law had done its job. I could not keep the law. So in desperation, I did what God had tried so hard to teach me for so long. You come out of hiding, you come to me. And by my mercy, I'll save you. And by that alone. And I came out of hiding. And I asked Jesus to help me. And now I'm a publican. And here I am, 66 years old. And I still beat on my breast daily. And say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. And the law showed me how wonderful Jesus is and how pitifully sinful I am. This morning, if you want to be saved, I can't save you. And if you've learned from the law the truth, you can't save yourself. You come trusting Jesus and He'll save you. And you'll never have to wonder about whether or not you did it right, because Jesus is the only one who ever did. You come this